Let's continue reading verses 1 through 9 of Ephesians 6. Now, in this first section of chapter 6, we have further exhortations for the Christian household, an exhortation to children, an exhortation to parents, an exhortation to slaves, and an exhortation to masters. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Once again, let's begin this section now with some background notes. We saw that the subject of the last section of Ephesians 5 was God's authority structure for the home. In particular, we saw the relationship and responsibilities of husbands and wives. Now, in this first section of chapter 6, the subject of God's authority for the home continues. Here we have the relationship and responsibilities of children to parents and parents to children, of slaves to masters and masters to slaves. Now, wait a minute, you say. Dave, I thought you said that this was a continuation of the authority structure in the home. Why are the slaves and masters mentioned here? Answer. Because slaves were part of the first century home in the Roman Empire. Now, the exhortations here to Christian masters and Christian slaves can certainly be applied today to Christian employers and Christian employees, as we'll see. But the larger question here, in your minds, I'm sure, is why are the duties of slaves and masters even mentioned at all? Why doesn't Paul just give a command here to release the slaves and abolish slavery? Wouldn't that be more Christian? All right, what's the answer here? Slavery is neither condemned nor condoned in the New Testament as a social institution. However, if the principles of New Testament teaching are followed, slavery will not be practiced for long. And indeed, this is exactly what led to the abolition of slavery. Furthermore, if Christian masters followed the directives given here, slaves would be elevated to a position far superior than that of many workers today under the free enterprise system. Remember, slaves got room and board for themselves and their families, as well as employment for the whole family. In fact, many slaves stayed on in their same jobs when granted freedom, when they had a kind master. Let's move on to our doctrinal point. Our doctrinal point for this first section of Ephesians 6 is the same as we had for the last section of Ephesians 5, because it's a continuation of the same subject. Believers should submit to one another. Believers should submit to one another. In Ephesians 5:21, we are exhorted to submit to one another in the fear of God. Now, we've seen two subpoints under this principle in the last section of Ephesians 5. Wives should respect their husbands, and husbands should love their wives. Now we have four more subpoints in this first section of Ephesians 6, A, B, C, and D. So A, children should obey and honor their parents, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Children here conveys more than preschoolers. Certainly teenagers are included in this term. Notice that the children are directly addressed in this letter. It assumes that they will be present at the church meeting where this letter will be read. The teenagers are not off having fun and games while their parents are in church. No way, they're all together. Good application for today. Now the phrase obey in the Lord in verse 1 once again implies the recognition of the authority structure that God has set up for the home. Children are subject to parents, not vice versa. Now in verse 2, we see that children are not only to obey their parents, but to honor their parents. You know, it's interesting to listen to my students out at Emmaus talk about their parents. The sign of a godly student is how they respect their parents when their parents are not around them. They honor their parents. Now, verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Verse 3 does not mean that a godly teenager will never die young. The point is that learning to submit to authority in the home and thus honoring your parents is a principle that tends for long life. Proverbs 10, verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days." And the converse is also true. People who never learn to submit to authority have all kinds of psychological and physiological problems that tend for a shortened lifespan, regardless of fat-free diets and exercise. You follow that? So children should obey and honor their parents. Subpoint B, parents should discipline and instruct their children. Parents should discipline and instruct their children. Verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord," or discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers here could also be translated parents. Now notice we have a do and a don't here for parents. Don't provoke them to wrath. That is, don't nitpick and nag. Don't be unreasonable and inconsistent. Don't use undue harshness. Don't just arbitrarily assert your authority to show who's boss around the place. Don't break the spirit of your children by putting them down or beating them down. If you run your home this way, you will have a dysfunctional family, and your children will turn out to be either teenage rebels or zombies. Parents, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. But now we have the do. Do discipline and instruct them. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, or discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, how do you discipline children? Don't discipline for mistakes, but for defiance. We all make mistakes. Have a few well-defined rules, not a lot of nitpicking rules and regulations. It's a home, not a military camp. Now, how do you teach and instruct children in the things of the Lord? Number one, you definitely have family devotions. Make a time when the family is together each day. Usually a meal time is the best. And use some variety in your family devotions. Even music and drama. Don't just study the book of Leviticus all the time. I mean, you'll wear your kids out, all right? Use some variety. Have a missionary night. Have a night where your teenagers can do the devotions. Use some variety. And number two, practice what you preach and model what you teach. You can't wear masks in front of your kids. Don't kid yourself. They see right through you. Teenagers have X-ray vision. Parents should discipline and instruct their children. Subpoint C, slaves should obey and serve their masters. Slaves should obey and serve their masters. Verses 5 through 8. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. The phrase according to the flesh in verse 5 means in the physical or temporal realm, not the spiritual realm. In other words, in the home, back there in the first century, the slaves were to recognize the authority structure and be subordinate to their masters. In the church, however, it was different. Remember, in the first century, Christian slaves and Christian masters would be in the same church together. And in some cases, the slaves would actually be elders and church leaders. And thus, the masters would be subject to the slaves in the line of spiritual authority in the church. But in the home, the slaves were to be subject to their masters and serve them as if they were working for the Lord. And they would be rewarded accordingly at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 8. Now we've seen that all of this can be applied to the matter of being a good employee today. Just think, you can get a reward in heaven for putting in a good day's work for your boss. Slaves should obey and serve their masters. And subpoint D, masters should serve and care for their slaves. Masters should serve and care for their slaves. Verse 9, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Christian masters were to serve their slaves and care for them and provide for them and not threaten them. And the same should be true of Christian employers today. Are you a Christian employer or manager? Do you serve your employees and the people under you? Or do you just use them and threaten them? What a great testimony you can be for the Lord as you serve and care for your employees. Or what a terrible testimony you can be for the Lord as you don't serve and care for your employees. Remember, you too have a master in heaven, verse 9, and you will be rewarded or not rewarded on the basis of how you serve and care for your employees. And you will not be able to say, but wait a minute, Lord, I was the boss. There is no partiality or favoritism with God, verse 9. And now for practical application. How do you work when the boss isn't watching? How do you work when the boss isn't watching? Verse 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers. That means doing a good job even when the boss is out of town and not watching. You know, have you seen that recent ad on TV where this guy in the office thinks his boss is out of town? You know, he's just lounging around the office talking about how he's going to go out and play golf that afternoon. Meanwhile, the boss is hearing everything that's said. Well, believe it or not, this happens all the time. But it shouldn't if you're a Christian. When the cat's away, the mice will play, should never be said of a Christian employee. You know, in the first century, Christian slaves brought higher prices. They were more valuable. They worked harder. They worked as unto the Lord. Are we more valuable to our employers today because we're Christians? Let's hope so. It's a soul-searching and convicting question, isn't it? How do you work when your boss isn't watching?